We're holding on page 86 in Brachos, middle of Ois Samachay then, four lines from the bottom. We're in the middle of talking about, the various tachnunim that different tannoim and amoroim would say at the end of the Shemona Esra. You daven Shemona Esra, there's a fixed nusach for it, but then you have, it's not supposed to be a fixed nusach, it should be that you put in your own thing to it. So each of them had their own thing they added. There was actually, interestingly, I found a footnote. The Rebbe has a letter discussing the question on Rosh Hashanah night. You know, you say the bracha, Bore Priya Eitz, and then the Yehi Rotzen, and only then do you eat the apple. And there's the whole question, why is that? Isn't the Yehi Rotzen a hefsek? So there's a letter where the Rebbe discusses the ins and outs of it. One thing he points out there in the footnote is, so he points out over there, one idea may be that this way the Yehi Rotzen is also included in the bracha. That you not only you say in the bracha thanking Hashem for creating the fruit of the tree, the apple, you also want to include in that bracha the request for a good year. And the Rebbe says the same idea over here with these tanoim and amiroim. If it was just a matter they want to add something personalized to their Shemona Esrei, then they don't have to add it davka at the end. For example, they could be adding in Shmak Aleinu or whatever. But the idea would be that they want also that the brachas of Shemona Esrei should also cover this what are these individual requests that they're making. For that reason, also it sounds like maybe they would not say Yiru L'Ratzin before them. Now we actually at the end of Shemona Esrei we say Yiru L'Ratzin twice, and in Shulchan Aruch it discusses the idea because you have the question: is it appropriate to be adding your own tachnunim?
Doesn't even know.
In our case, we add a l'kayim mitzvah, which we're gonna get to soon, is what one of the Amoraim used to say. Is it appropriate to be adding it at the end of Shemona Esrei without saying you l'ratzin first, which is a takana of the chachamim, whereas a l'kai netzor is not, it's only a minhag. So therefore, so in Shulchan Aruch, it brings different opinions of Rishonim about that, whether that's the right thing to do, and therefore that's why to be on the safe side, we say you l'ratzin twice. So we say it the first time, that way, according to be choshesh for the first opinion, then we say a l'kai netzor, and then afterwards we say you l'ratzin, so that it should include that bakasha as well. So we went through the first couple of them. We had Rabbi Lazar's tefillah and we had Rabbi Yechon's tefillah. So now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Zeira bossed him aside slowly. Omahafi. When Rabbi Zeira finished his Shemona Esrei, he would say the following tefillah: Yirotzim melfanacha Hashem alakeinu. May it be your will, Hashem. Shalay nechta that we should not sin. V'loy nevosh and we should not be embarrassed. V'loy nikolim and we should not be humiliated. May avoseinu. And now the mem can mean. It can mean from, or it can mean then. So it can mean we should not be embarrassed from our fathers in the sense. In other words, that it shouldn't be. So Eitz Yosef discusses over here that the idea that he brings that the Alshich explains, the Alshich Hakadosh explains why is at the end of the Teuchecha in Parashas before Kosai it mentions the Ovis, the Zachartias Brisi Yaakov, Avis Brisi Yitzchak, etc. Why does it mention the Ovis in that connection? And the idea is because it's meant to highlight all the more so what were we thinking that we fell so low and wound up having to go through all those tochachos when we're the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and should have realized to hold ourselves to a higher standard. So in the same sense over here, we're saying realizing that our ancestors did tremendous things, we shouldn't have to be embarrassed in their presence from the averus that we do. So that's one meaning of may I be saying. A different meaning of Me'av Seinu, the Oruch, I think, says it means that we shouldn't be more embarrassed than our ancestors. Our ancestors suffered, not Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but our later ancestors suffered humiliation because of various averus that they did. So we hope that we don't have to be more embarrassed than they were. So that was his tefillah.
The Mishnah took it, which is the opposite, where
we've made... Ashrei Yaldusenu Shalei Bisha, right, that's it. Yeah.
No,
so you have both. You have Ashrei Yaldusenu Shalei Bisha Sikneseinu, how happy is our youth that it didn't embarrass our old age. And then you have the other way around. You have the line over there about the Balei Tshuva, who say Ashrei Sikneseinu Shekipra Al Yaldusenu, that our old age was
happy.
That's something else, right? That they said that our fathers used to worship Avodah Zarah and we don't. Yeah, that's true. Right. Yeah, okay, because there it's important to, but over here we're asking that we shouldn't have to be more embarrassed than them. Okay. Why Dafka Reb Zera asked that? So Ion Yaakov explains that we know from a story in Sanhedrin that Reb Zera used to be makariv people who otherwise the rest of the Chachamim rejected and decided that they want to have nothing to do with their biryonim, and Reb Zera would work to be makariv them. So therefore he had to daven to Hashem that he shouldn't end up learning from them. And on the contrary, that he should be able to affect them for good. Next, Reb Chiya bossed Matz the Omahachi. When Reb Chiya finished davening, he would say as follows: Yiratzim alpanach Hashem alakenu shetei teras chom nasenu. May it be your will, Hashem, that the Torah should be our craft, our occupation. Val yidveli benu, our hearts should not be distressed. Val yechshuenenu, and our eyes should not be dark. So the expression comes, Marsha points out, you have the expression at the end of Eicha, al zeh hoyo dov libeinu, al eva chosh chweinenu. So he's davening that we shouldn't have to undergo that. Why is he davka mentioning that? So Ion Yaakov points out that Reb Chiya was in fact Torosu Ibnose. He taught a tremendous amount of Torah.
I'm wondering if you guys story. Do a, like,
you have a famous story about how he would go around. It was in Daf Yomi not so long ago. Also, how he would go around from one village to another and gather children together and teach them Torah. So he has a particular reason to daven that Torah should be omunasein. When he says Al Yud Vali Benu Al Yach Shukoinenu, Eitz Yosef explains. Ephraim, I don't know what's going on over here, but please keep yourself on mute. Thank you. So he explains that libenu and neinenu refer to the heart and the eyes of the Jewish people, namely the Talmid Chachamim, that they shouldn't have to be sad or dark, that they should have the strength and the ability to lead the Jewish people and to guide the Jewish people in the right way. Next, the Rav Boset Sloisei Omahochi. Rav, when he finished his Shemoneh Esrei, he would say the following tefillah: Yiratzim l'fanecha Hashem alakenu, shetiten lanu chayim aruchim, may you give us long life, chayim shal shalom, a life of peace, chayim shal bracha, chayim shal tova, a life of goodness, chayim shal bracha, a life of blessing, chayim shal parnosa, of sustenance, chayim shal chibot tzatzomois, of strengthening the bones. A Marsha brings from a Gemara in Yevamos that says, literally, that's what it means. In other words, that person davened that his bones should be strong. The Gemara actually calls it over there, Ma'ula Sheba Brachas, the best of all the brachas is that a person should be davening for that. Chaim Shiesh Bem Yira, it can also mean, I mean, besides a person's gashmiistic of bones, I imagine it probably also has a meaning, Beruchnius, you know, the bones, in other words, that a person has the Stolzkeit to stand against to stand firm on behalf of Torah and to stand up against what needs to be stood up on behalf of. So, yeah. He continues, Chaim Shiesh Bem Yira Schait, a life in which there's fear of sin, meaning in other words, not yirasa oynesh, not you can have the lowest level is where a person is afraid to do averus because afraid of the consequences. No, we want yiras chet. We want that a person should actually be afraid to do the avera because he finds it disgusting or because he's embarrassed in front of Hashem, which is a high level of yira called yira boishes, etc. Chaim she'en ben busho chlima, a life in which there's no embarrassment or humiliation. Chaim shal oshav achavod, a life of riches and honor. Chaim she'teh banu avas teruv yiras shemayim, a life in which there is in which we will have love of Torah and fear of Hashem. Chaim she'temalo lanu es kol mishalos lebeinu l'tova, a life in which Hashem will fulfill all of the requests of our heart for good. And the point of the for good is that sometimes, so first of all, the in bam bushel chlima, so Eitz Yosef refers to what we were just talking about from Sukkah. You have the tzaddikim say about themselves by Simchas Beis Sheva that happy is our youth that didn't embarrass our old age. And the Baalei Tshuva say happy is our old age that was mechaper for what we did wrong in our youth. So therefore, so we're saying that we're davening that we shouldn't have bushel chlima, that we shouldn't have to be in the second category. We should be able to be in the first category. And the mashalas, the Beinu L'Tova, sometimes you can have, of course, a person makes a request of Hashem and he doesn't realize that what he's requesting is really no good for him. So asking that Hashem should fulfill it in the way that's good for him. So that was Rab's Tila. In Nusach Ashkenaz, actually, they say that before Birkas HaChodesh, before saying Mishas and Nisim, in Nusach Ashkenaz, Sidurim, they say this paragraph with a couple of slight variations. One thing I once saw, they say a vote. So why is he asking? He's first asking for Yiras Chet, and later on he's asking again for Yiras Shamayim. Why is that? Because since you have Osh of a Chabad in between, there's the real possibility that after there's the Osh of a Chabad, you may lose some of that Yira, and therefore you have to daven for it again.
Could it be that the Yira Tata and Yira Ilah?
Maybe it's Yira Tata and Yira Ilah. Although it's Yosef says already that Yira, that even Chaim, that Yiras Chet already is a higher level of Yira. But yeah, I mean, there are many different levels, so maybe, yeah. Ion Yaakov points out there are different things that mentions throughout Shas and Midrashim that Rav acted with Midas Chassidus altogether. There were 10 of them corresponding to that. He has 10 things that he's requesting over here in his tefillah. In the Nusach, they say actually in Nusach Ashkenaz, when they say it for before Birkas HaChodesh, they at the end, after Kol Mishalos Leben HaTovah, they add the line, B'schus Tefillas Rabbi. So I've seen various, so on the face of it, it means exactly what it sounds like. In the schus of the rabbim asking this tefillah, unlike over here where we're saying that Rab would say it as a yochid. I have once seen where someone suggested though, and I don't know if this was meant seriously or as a bit of a joke, that maybe the word bischus is actually a misprint for brochos and rabbim for Rab, and therefore it was just a reference. Brochos, tefillas Rab. In brochos over here, this is Rab's tefillah, and somebody wrote a reference and then it got changed into that. So yeah. Anyway, the Gemara continues. Rebbe Boset Sloise Omahochi. Rebbe, after he finished Shemana Esri, would say the following tefillah: Yehirotzim Lefanecha Hashem Alekai, or Alekenu, Alekai Avisai, Avisenu. In general, we try to phrase our tefillahs in the plural, so therefore that's why you have Alekenu and Avisenu instead. Shatatzileni Maaze Ponim Maazus Ponim. May you save me from Aze Ponim, from Chutzpahdika people, or May Azus Ponim, and from Chutzpah. Now, why the double expression? So we say this every morning in davening. We should be familiar with what it says. So Marsha says the vote is as a pony means exactly what it sounds like. Chutz v'dikah people, that Hashem should save me from having to deal with such people. Azus pony means then that you shouldn't have people claiming that I am a mamzer where mamzerim are as a pony. And in fact, Marsha refers to a Gemara in Shabbos where some guy claims to Reb comes to Rebbe, some sugarer comes to Rebbe and claims that he's actually Rebbe's father, which would mean that Rebbe Chas v'Shalom. And the upshot is that the Rebbe managed to get the Eberstein to dispose of the guy. But anyway, he gave him a drink and the guy exploded, whatever it says over there in the Gemara. The point is, something like that. Anyway, the point is that the point is that Rebbe had to daven that he should be spared from such things. There are different other explanations. Eitz Yosef brings over here from the Avudraham, where Avudraham, we know, is a sefer of Pirushi Amilos and Tefillah. So he explains that as a ponim means that we ask Hashem to save us from people who would attack us, and azus ponim that we shouldn't be as a ponim against other people. So there's that also. There's also, I think, the Maharal says something about it, that as a ponim could mean, for example, that a person joins up together with other as a ponim. Sometimes you may have a guy doesn't have the break tight himself to speak or to do badly against somebody else, but he has a whole group with him, so he feels more emboldened to do it. That's azeponim. And azusponim is he shouldn't have the ability and the yetzahara to do that on his own. Anyway, me odom ra, he continues to ask Hashem to save me from a bad person, or me pega ra, and from any bad incidents. Me chover ra, from a bad friend, because we know from Pirkei Avos, a bad friend can really lead a person in the wrong way. Me yetzer ra, from the bad yetzer. Now, of course, you know, I call bidei shemayim chutz miyiras shemayim, but there's always habodi time, so we're entitled to ask Hashem to help us, to give us a little boost against the yetzer hara. Mishochen ra, from a bad neighbor, or misatan amashchis, from the destroying satan. And the satan over here doesn't necessarily mean the satan as in the malach. Eitz Yosef brings over here, it can mean an actual a human adversary. We actually find, he brings, for example, you have a pasuk in connection with Shlomo, by Yochim Hashem loy v'satan, that Hashem set up an adversary, an enemy against him, a certain a goy from Ed. So we see that the word Satan can mean a human, and it can mean a human opponent as well. So we're asking Hashem to save us from that kind of thing. Or midin kosher, from a harsh judgment, which means, in other words, that so Eitz Yosef says, for example, it means that if I have a din Torah against somebody else, it shouldn't be a harsh, it shouldn't be a hard kind of thing where I'm going to be matriach based in to decide this complicated case. Or midbal din kosher, or from a harsh Baal Din, from a harsh opponent in a Din Torah, where it might be it's an easy enough case, but the other guy doesn't want to listen to the Beis Din, and therefore that causes that causes a lack of respect to Beis Din, that people aren't following that people aren't following their Psak Din. So we ask Hashem to save us from that. Ben Shu Ben Bris, whether that opponent is a Ben Bris, is a member of the Bris of a, that we have with Hashem, meaning a fellow Yid, or Ben Shein a Ben Bris, or whether he's not a Ben Bris. So that was Rebbe's tefillah, and we say that every morning in morning brachas. We have the bracha Amav Shein Me'ene, which continues Vihiratzim Milfanecha, which and then after that we put in this tefillah because some of the phrases in it are similar to the phrases in the previous bracha. So therefore, that's an appropriate place to put it. But Rebbe would say it at the end of his Shemone Esrei, and the Gemara points out, but Afagav Dekaimik Sutzei Alei De Rebbe. Even though Rebbe had guards or police guarding him, Rashi says that Antoninus, the famous emperor Antoninus, who was the friend of Rebbe, appointed guards to be on Rebbe's side, so that if anybody tries to attack him or anybody tries to whatever, then these guys can beat the person up. Nevertheless, even though Rebbe had that, he felt the need to daven every day to Hashem to save him from the Azei Ponim and Azos Ponim and so forth.
Because of guards, Goyish guards, is not
no, if I can't. In other words, you might think that maybe he doesn't have to dab in this every day, maybe only on special occasions, but...
Their voice alone works out a lot better than these Goyish guards, I think.
Okay, fine. The Gemara continues. And by the way, Ion Yaakov points out, again, in keeping with what he's been doing, that each of the Tanoim and Amiroim would find some connection between their own life circumstances and the tefillah that they said. In particular, Rebbe, we know, is very, very rich. And a rich person often tends to be an Azponim. Therefore, the first thing he's davening for is that Hashem should save him from Azosponim, that he shouldn't be like your typical rich person and be like that.
Because
many people, it's not just that rich people, they fall. It's not just that when they fall, it's more the point that your typical, very often a rich person, you actually have a posik, Osho Yana Azos, that a rich person feels more of a break kite, feels more of an ability to talk chutzpahdik to other people, figuring that he can get away with it because he's rich and powerful. So Rebbe is asking that he shouldn't be led into that kind of mentality.
There's a tendency to take off such of the very results because
yeah, that's
like he has money to do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Go to the head and get egotistical. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Okay. The Gemara continues. Reb Safra bossed him signed slowly on the when Reb Safra would finish his Shemoneh Esrei, he would say this tefillah: Yirotzen l'fanach Hashem alakenu, may it be your will, Hashem alakenu, shatosin shalom v'pamalya shamayla v'pamalya shamata, that you should put shalom among the pamalya shamayla, which is the pamalya literally means the entourage. So Rashi says it means, particularly, it means the malachim in charge of the nations up in Shemayim. Each nation has its own malach. And when those malachim fight with each other, then you have fights down here on earth as well. So therefore, when there's Shalom and Pamalya Shamayla, then that means that there'll be peace in the world, over Pamalya Shamata, and also among the entourage down here on earth, which means the chachamim down here on earth, that they should have Shalom among themselves as well. And that there should also be shalom among the Talmidim who are occupied with learning their Torah, bein oskim l'shma, bein oskim shalo l'shma, whether they're occupied with Torah l'shma or not l'shma, and b'chala oskim shalo l'shma, and any of the ones who are learning Torah shalo l'shma, yiratzim l'fanecha shiyu oskim l'shma, may it be you will Hashem that they end up doing the right thing and be osik l'shma. As the Alter Rebbe puts it at the end of Perek Lamed Tes of Tanya, so lo yudach mimenu nidach. Even if you have a person has learned Torah shalom l'shma, eventually b'gil gozer b'gil acher, somehow that Torah they learned is going to end up being elevated, and so therefore he's asking that it shouldn't have to wait for the next gilgul, which should be right here during this lifetime. Marsha explains like this. We know that there's a few different levels in when a person learns, when we talk about a person learning Torah, Shalom L'Shma, there's a few different kinds of Shalom L'Shma. One is where a person is learning Torah because he wants to be famous, he wants people to honor him and call him Rebbe, because it's interesting or whatever. That's like, that's Shalom L'Shma, but it's not so bad, Allah L'Shma. That's the kind where the Gemara often says that L'Olam Yasek Adam HaTorah Shalom L'Shma, and Mitoch Shalom L'Shma Bal L'Shma. Eventually he'll come to L'Shma. Then there's the kind of Shalom L'Shma
terrible.
which is called Lakanta, where he's learning Shalai the Shema in order to use it to attack other people, whether it's that he's going to use it to put other people down, I'm a Tamat Chacham and you're nothing, or whether it's that he's going to use his knowledge of Torah to be able to use loopholes and halacha, to use loopholes in halacha against them and dinim mamonos or whatever it is, that kind of thing is Lakanta. So that's not the kind. That kind, the Gemara says in some places that a person learns Shalai the Shema, then he's really bad off. So therefore, Marsha says, so here, Rab Safra in his tefillah, first he's referring to the Oiskim L'Shma and the Shalai L'Shma. So he's saying, in other words, that whether the Oisik L'Shma or Shalai L'Shma, even if it's the first kind of Shalai L'Shma, at least they should have Shalom among them. Fine, he may be learning with the wrong motivation in order to be called the Tamid Chacham, but at least he should have Shalom with the other Tamid Chachamim who are learning L'Shma. Then he refers to the second kind of Shalai L'Shma, where they're learning a cantor. Now, you can't ask that there should be Shalom between them and the other Tamid Chachamim, because the whole point of their learning is in order to create Machloikas. So therefore, all you can do is ask that they should be Oisik L'Shma, and that way, automatically, then they'll come to a point of Shalom. But you can't really ask for there to be Shalom yet with them, because they're not even at the level of learning Torah with any kind of Shalom.
Where does it say that the test of riches is harder than the test of poorness?
I don't remember offhand, but yeah, there was the. Shlomo HaMelech himself says, Resh v'Osher al titen li. He says, don't give me poverty and don't give me riches, because either one can cause a person to go the wrong way.
It's a different place. It says something else.
I don't know. Okay. So that's Reb Safra's tefillah. And Iyun Yaakov explains, Reb Safra, we know, was particularly noted for his Midas Emes. At the end of Makkos, there's a Gemara over there that goes through Kapitel Tesvav of Tilim, Hashem Miyogu Ba'alecha, Miyishkan Baha'u Kodshecha, talks about 11 Midas Tovas, which encapsulate the whole Torah. Gemara says over there that there are 613 mitzvahs. Dovid HaMelech summarized them under 11 headings, the 11 things in that capital. And one of them is Dover Emes Bilvavoy, and it tells over there about Reb Safra, where he was completely devoted to Midas Emes. You have the story over there where one time he was selling cloth. He's in the middle of saying Krishma. A customer walks into the store and asks for a certain amount of cloth at a certain price, and Reb Safra doesn't answer him because he's in the middle of Krishma. And the guy thinks he's not answering because he's insulted. I've offered too low a price. So he starts offering higher and higher prices. And then when Reb Safra finally finishes Shema, he tells him, I'll sell it to you at the original price. Because already when you first said that price, I already decided mentally that I'm willing to sell it at that price. And I'm not going to go back on that. So Reb Safra was completely devoted to Midas Emes. And on the other hand, Iyun Yaakov goes on to say, Shalom and Emes, in a way, are opposites, because Shalom means that you're going to try to make peace between people. That means, in other words, somebody's going to have to give up something of what they deserve. That's not really Emes L'Amito. So therefore, sort of Safra has particular reason to ask that even though I have the Midas Emes, there should also be that it shouldn't contradict Shalom. It should still work well with Shalom of Pamali Shamayla of Pamali Shamata.
But it could also mean that both of them have to compromise, that's all.
Well, yeah, that is what Shalom is all about. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Alexandri Bosset Sloise Omahofi. Rabbi Alexandri, holding Os Samach Zayin on page Mem Dalin. Rabbi Alexandri, when he finished davening, Omar Hochi, he would say the following request: Yirotzim lefanecha Hashem alakenu, shetamidenu b'keren oira, may you put us in a corner of light, va'al tamidenu b'keren chashecha, don't put us in a corner of darkness, va'al yid v'libenu v'al yechshufoinenu, may our hearts not be distressed and our eyes not be darkened. That's the same line that we said before, Rabbi Chia said. Then some say that it wasn't Rabbi Alexandri who said that tefillah, but rather Rabbi Hamnuna. And according to that, then the Gemara is going to bring on the next Amud, we'll say a different tefillah that according to that version that Rabbi Alexandri would say. What does Keren Ora mean? So Marsha explains like this. A corner is a narrow area in a room. That's you don't have much room to move around as you would in the rest of the room. Therefore, the Keren refers to, and also it's darker over there because the light doesn't penetrate the corners as much as it does in the middle of the room. Therefore, the Keren refers to the time of Golus. So even though we're in a Keren, we're in a very constricted, narrow place, nevertheless, put us in a Keren Ora and save us in, even during Golus, save us from all the tzaris so that we should have Ora, like Hudim is the Ora of Simcha and so forth. So that's what he's asking, that we should be in Keren Ora. So then there's a few other explanations. Eitz Yosef explains that Keren Ora can also refer to Eretz Yisrael. Can also refer to Eretz Yisrael and to places which have a certain semblance of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. So Hashem should make it possible for us to be in such places. Eretz Yisrael itself, in fact, there's a pasuk that refers to it as Keren. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya that where there's a long extended, Yeshaya gives a mashal extending over a few psukim of how Hashem expected such great things from the Jewish people and they're not living up to it. And he calls it Keren Ben Shomen, a very fertile, fat corner. So we see that Eretz Yisrael is called a Keren. That's another point. And Naf Yosef makes another point as well, which is the word keren can also mean strength. We have many times in davening, and many times in psukim and tilim, and in other places where the word keren means strength and power. By yoram keren la'amoy of chokanu reshoy magadeya, etc. So Rabbi Alexandri was a dayan. We find in a few places in Shas that his job was he was a dayan. So therefore, he's asking that this keren, this greatness that he has as a dayan, should be for Oda and not for the opposite. That he should exercise his powers as a dayan. That Hashem should help him to exercise his powers as a dayan appropriately. And then he continues that also that the part about Al Yud Velibenu Al Yechsh Choinenu is that. What are we saying? The pasuk is saying that we're sad and our eyes are dimmed because of the churban habayis. Well, the Gemara says that when a person does a dayan does mishpat with tzedakah correctly, then it's better than a korban. So he's asking that we shouldn't have to be distressed over the churban because instead I should be able to act as a dayan and therefore accomplish something even greater in the world than korbanos. And Naf Yosef brings all of this from the tzlach. Isn't it repetitive, you're asking? So the vote can be, even if for whatever reason we may not be in a Keren Ora, at least we shouldn't have to be at the opposite extreme in Keren Chashecha. So, besides which, in general, in davening, you want to specify. You don't want to leave anything in davening open to more than one possible meaning. Make that point, yeah. So one version was that Alexandri said the previous tefillah, and then the other version was that Rav Hamnuna said that one, in which case, so what did Rav Alexandri say? So Rav Alexandri, Basat Sloise, Amahachim. So according to the second version, he said a different thing at the end of his Shemoneh Esrei. Ribon Kol Olam, master of all the worlds, Goli V'Yadula Fanecha, Sheretzeinenu Lasas Retzeinecha, it's well known and it's well revealed and known before you, Hashem, that our will is to do your will. We know that a Yid's intrinsic Rotzen is to do the Rotzen of the Eibishter, as in the famous thing from Hilchos Geirushin that the Rebbe used to quote any number of times, where you have over there that a Yid doesn't want to give a get, where he's required to up Yalacha, then Basin can beat him, Anshiyam Aroitzani, how can you give a get against his will, because his true will is to do what the Eibishter wants.
Papa gives my coat to get my kid.
Okay. So who is holding us back? So the sourdough in the dough and the subjugation of Golos. So those two things, in other words, the internal Yetzer Hara, which is like sourdough that causes the dough to puff up, and the Shibud Golos, those two things are preventing us from fully doing what you Hashem want and what we really want to do.
What's the sourdough?
Exactly what it sounds like. In other words, you have a batch of dough. How do you make it chometz? How do you make it puff up and make it into bread? You put in a piece of sourdough. So therefore, it represents the arrogance of the Yetzer Hara. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, we do have that line in the Minor Lashon. That's true. Yeah. In the Minor Lashon, one of the Trilas that we say at the oil, that's true. Mentions. Yeah, we mentioned that point. Yeah. So Marsha explains like this. A person is always supposed to go, that Amam explains, and in Shmoyne Prakim and in Hilchos Deyes, that a person should always, in almost all midas that a person has, he should go b'derech hamitzua. He should go in the average way, not too far over to one extreme, not too far over to the other extreme. Now, so what happens then? So you have, on the one hand, there's the Sa'ur Shabbat, the Yetzer Hara, that puffs a person up with gaiva. And then on the other hand, you have Shibud Golias that causes a person, that person is subjugated to the Goyim, and they humiliate him and put him down or whatever. So therefore, we're asking Hashem to take away those two things, and then we'll be able to stay on the straight middle path without all those things. Iyun Yaakov points out another thing as well, which is that you have mitzvahs esse and mitzvahs lois esse. for the most part, what does the Yetzer Hara get a person to do? Mitzvah Lois essay. He convinces him that something which is also is really good and he should do it. On the other hand, then what do you have when you have Zeris from the Goyim, Shivud Malchus? For the most part, there was attack mitzvah's essay. Classic example, he mentions is, for example, that what Antiochus is Xeris, says they shouldn't do Bris Mila and Shabbos and put on tefillin and so forth, which are all mitzvahs asay. So therefore, so we're saying that those two things, the Seor Shebe Issa and the Shibud Golias, are respectively preventing us from mitzvahs lois esseh and mitzvahs esseh. So Hashem, please remove those factors so that way we can keep the mitzvahs the way we're supposed to. Then Eitz Yosef brings another point as well. You often have that a person does a mitzvah, but he does it out of habit, or he does it sadly, or whatever. So when we're saying "Ritzeinenu lasas ritzeinecha," doesn't just mean that we want to do your mitzvahs. We want to do them with the right motivation. But why is it that we're not doing them as with ritzeinecha? Rashi, in fact, uses the expression "Umima akiv she'enanu oisin ritzeinecha." What's preventing us from doing your will? So Eitz Yosef explains. That, in other words, even when we are doing the mitzvahs, they're not really according to Hashem's will because we're not doing them with the right motivation, with the right av of a year. So we're saying the two things, the Seor Shebe Issa and the Shibud Malchus, are preventing that. It's preventing us from being happy with doing mitzvahs. So therefore, so he continues, Yirotzim Milfanecha, Hashem Alekeinu, may it be your will, Hashem, Shetachniyem Milfanenu, that you should subjugate those two things in front of us, Umeacharenu, and from behind us. So neither in front of us nor behind us should there be any of those kinds of things. Before us, meaning before a person is planning to do, is going to do a mitzvah. Afterwards means you might have afterwards where like he may regret the mitzvah that he did, for example, or whatever, or that he might feel gaivadik about that he did the mitzvah or whatever, and we should return to doing the mitzvahs of your will with a full heart. So that's what it means. Also, Marsha says, given that he's explaining according to the Rambam, the point is we want to go on the straight path. We're saying we have a problem, milfaneinu and me'acharenu, that both from before us and from in front of us and behind us, there are things that are trying to get us off that middle path. So Hashem, please remove those factors, and then we'll be able to go on the straight middle path like we're supposed to. There is also the idea, you know, that it talks about Chassidus, that the fact that we're comparing the Yetzer Hara to Seor Shebe Issa, so we're mentioning it as a negative thing. On the other hand, the fact is, once you put in Seor in the dough and you let it rise and you bake it, you have a nice tasty loaf of bread, where without that, you have something fairly tasteless. So the idea is that ultimately you do use the Seor Shebe Issa in order to enhance your connection to the Eibishter, you know, the Yetzer Tova, the Shnei Levavecha, the Yetzer Tova, the Yetzer Hara. You overcome the Yetzer Hara, you make from it, as the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, you make mat'amim, you make a delicious dish for Hashem out of his skafia sitra achra. So that's all included in this idea of calling it Seor Shebe Issa.
Is that between Yaakov and the Yitzchak, the whole thing about Yaakov preparing the...
So that's the Alter Rebbe brings in Perek Chav Zayin of Tanya, yeah, that you have the line that Yitzchak says to Yaakov, va'asili mat'amim, yeah. Where on the deeper level, that's Hashem speaking to the Jewish people and saying, I want two kinds of delicious dishes, the avodah of the tzaddik and the avodah of the Baal Teruah. Yeah. Continues the Gemara. Ma breder Rav Huna basot sloise omahochi. Ma breder Rav Huna would say the following bakasha after his davening, and this is the one that we say at the end of Shemoneh Esrei. Elikain mitzur the shoni meira. Preserve my tongue from saying evil. V'sifsoisai midaber mirma, and my lips from speaking falsehood. The double expression, among other things, means that. Eitz Yosef brings over here from the Vilna Gaon that Ra would be where a person is saying something that he knows is bad. Mirma would be Echad B'Peh V'Echad B'Lev. He's thinking to do bad, but he's speaking falsely and trying to pretend that he's speaking nicely to the other person. So we're asking Hashem. So that's the both things. The kind of Sarah L'Shoni Meira, that I shouldn't say something which is outright bad to other people, or Sfasem Midam and Mirma, and that I shouldn't speak falsehoods where I'm pretending to speak nicely to them, and really I'm doing it for bad purposes.
Yeah. He thinks one thing, but he says the other.
Yeah. He continues. Vilim kalai nafshi sidoim, to those who curse me, let my soul be silent. Which also actually some of the Mephoshim explain. It also has another meaning that the Tosfos actually, I think, explained that it means that the Makalai themselves, Sidoim, Hashem should help, that they be quiet. So then we would punctuate the sentence, Vilim kalai nafshi sidoim, that Hashem should help, that they end up being quiet. V'nafshi ka'ofa l'kulti, yeah? And my soul should be like dust to everyone. Where on the one level it means dust, as in other words, that we have bittul, that we have a sense of bittul, that is what we're asking for. But also Tosfos points out the fact is that dust never disappears. So that, which is why we Jewish people, for example, are compared to the dust in this week's parasha and all over the place, kafar ha'aretz, because the idea is the dust never disappears, and neither do we Jewish people. So therefore, v'nafshi ka'ofa l'kultia is also meant to ask that we're working to accomplish in the world should never disappear. We continue. Psach libi b'sarah secha, open up my heart to your Torah. Uv mitzvah secha tir deif nafshi, and let my neshama, let my nefesh, which also means my desire, run after your mitzvahs. One idea being mitzvahs, yeah, are active things. You have to run for them. Torah, you just have to open up your heart, and it's already there, available for your mitzvahs. You have to run for. By the way, there is an explanation that's there's a Pirush on Ein Yaakov called Ein of the Yahu. He says that you're going over here in stages. You can't ask for everything all at once, so you're asking for things to go in stages. First, the Tzor the Shoni Meira, then Usfasim, and that means Usfasim Damim Mirma, which is a higher level. Then Velam Kalein Nafshi Sidaim, that when people insult me, I shouldn't answer them back. So the first one's the Tzor the Shoni Meira is that I shouldn't insult other people. Usfasim Damim Mirma, that I shouldn't speak, like we said, Echa Bepeva Echa Belev. If people insult me, I shouldn't answer them back. And then the nafshi ka'afal akodia, then I should reach an even higher level where what they're saying doesn't even bother me. There's also places in Chassidus where it talks about another angle on it also. In particular, we say v'nafshi ka'afal akodia, and then psach libi b'sara secha, because that's the order of things. First, you have to have a sense of bittul in order for your heart to be open to Torah. So therefore, it's important to have it in that order. And he continues, the next line we don't have in davening, actually. V'satzileni v'pegara, may Hashem, may you save me from any bad occurrences, miyetzahara, from the yetzahara, or miishara, or from a bad wife, this we haven't had before, or mikol rois misragches lovi la'olam, or from any other bad things that are taking place, that are stirring up and coming into the world. And then we continue, as we do in davening, anybody who thinks badly against me, mehera hofer atzasem, mekalka machshavosem, quickly ruin their plans, quickly destroy their plans and ruin their thoughts. One meaning of it, Rabbi Yaakov Emden explains that atzosam means things that they already expressed verbally, and machshavtom or machshavosam is things that they're only thinking of. So both of those should be, both of those Hashem should deal with. And he finishes off, So this is what we were saying before, that all of, so we say alakayin etzor in davening, we don't say any of these other ones, but each one of them, you have machlokes haposkim, whether you should be saying it right after Amavorach Hasama Yisrael Bashalom, or is that inappropriate because there is a takonas chachamim in the Gemara to say Yul Rotzen right after Shemana Esrei for reasons that we said before, because it's at the end of the eighth, originally the 18th, now the 19th capital of Tilim, and therefore it belongs immediately after the 18, later 19 brachas of Shemana Esrei. So therefore, maybe other kind of tzor should be only after that, or maybe not. Maybe you're entitled to say it right after, and therefore we say Yul Rotzen twice in order to cover all the bases.
It's our own prayer, right?
We could say our own tefillah at the end. That is true. You actually have within any of the brachas of Shemana Esrei. Actually, you are allowed to add anything that's relevant to that bracha. And Shema Kaleinu is the catch-all. You can add anything you want in there. So you can add, for example, a person, you actually find, it's actually printed in some Siddurim, but even in our Siddur, where it's not, you find, for example, let's say in Rufa'enu, they have in some Siddurim, they actually have a Nusach that you can add, the Shlach Rufor Shlema to Pliny Ben Plinus. And the same thing in Baruch Aleinu, you find in some Siddurim, where they have a little tefillah over there of your own that you can add to for Parnosa. But even if it's not printed there, or even if you want to make up your own Nusach, yeah, in any bracha in any of the middle 13 brachas of Shemana Esrei, you can add your own bakasha that's appropriate to that bracha. Shema Kaleinu is a catch-all, so you can add any. No, not out loud. No, not out loud. We're talking about your own shtila Shemana Esrei. Yeah.
But I believe you can personal bakashas are longer than the regular amida. You say it in your bracha.
Maybe if it's longer than the regular amida, then you should say it in your bracha. Could be. I don't think I've seen that, but it's very possible. So that was my bread of Hunas Tefillah, and that's what we say at the end of our Shemana Esrei. Another one, the Gemara says, Rava Basat Slose Amahachi. Rava would say the following request after his tefillah: Elikai ad shelo nitzauti enichadai. Even before I was created, I wasn't worthy to be created. I wasn't important enough. Choshev v'hogru, Rashi says, I wasn't important or worthy enough to be created. Va'achshev shenitzauti, now that I have been created, ki'ilo lo nitzoti, it's as if I wasn't created because I'm not accomplishing what I'm supposed to. I'm still not important. Marashar explains, you have the famous thing in Erevin where Bishama and Bishol argued, what would have been better for a person, to be created or not to be created? And the Gemara says over there that eventually Nimra v'gamru, the Chum decided over there, they eventually voted, it would have been better Shaloi Nivra. But now that he was Nivra, then he has to do Tshuva or Maisim Toiv. The vote is, in other words, because there are more mitzvahs Loiseh said than there are mitzvahs Esed. So therefore, a person has more of an opportunity to mess up than they have to do good. So that's why in that sense, but now once a person was created, then he has the responsibility to do the mitzvah eseh and bring a lakos into the world. So now, so this tefillah of Rava's is in keeping with that idea. Given that ad shalei nitzavti, I didn't deserve to be created because I would have been better off, but achshav shalei nitzavti, now that I was created with the purpose of being accomplishing the mitzvah eseh, ki'ilo lo nitzavti, I'm not doing the mitzvahs eser like I was supposed to. So it's as if I wasn't created. Then he continues, Ofra ani b'chaye, I'm dust even during my lifetime. So I don't have any chashivos even while I'm alive. Kavachoyme b'misasi, how much more so after I pass away. Which Marashah says, also the meaning of that is, that we're saying that when I'm alive, I have a choymer and a tzura. I have a materiality, my goof, and I have a tzura, which is the neshama. While I'm alive, I haven't been following the tzura, I haven't been following the neshama the way I'm supposed to. I've been following my guf. So how much more so, kavachoyim b'misasi, where the body and the neshama separate, I'm certainly not going to be able to do mitzvahs then. So, and he continues, Harei ani lefanecha kichli moli busho uchlima. I'm before you like a vessel full of embarrassment and humiliation. The body is a keli for the neshama, and the neshama is embarrassed about what the body has been doing. So he finishes off. Yiratzim lefanecha Hashem lekai shaloi achtoid. May it be your will, Hashem, that I should no longer do averus. U'mashach atosi lefanecha, and whatever I did already sinned before you. Morek barachamecha rabim. Morek means like to polish away, to clean, to scrub away, really. In our siddurim, the Alter Rebbe hasn't said the nusach mechoik barachamecha rabim, which means erase them. In nusach Ashkenaz, they do say morek. But it shouldn't have to be through yisurim or through severe sicknesses. So that was his tefillah every day at the end of his shemoneh esrei. That was Rav Hamnuna Zutta would say that in his tefillahs on Yom Kippur, and we also say it at the end of each of the tefillahs of Yom Kippur.
Nice.
To be continued tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Yom Yom Mashiach Geula. So we talked about yesterday at Kiddush Levana that it's Mekabel Pnei Shechina. So therefore, so when a person makes a cheshbon, that ever continued, when a person makes a cheshbon tzedek, a person makes an honest reckoning of what he's about regarding the Geula, then it means that a person has to be extra careful and extra mahadir with Kiddush Levana. So first of all, that would mean make sure to do it in good, nice clothes, which is why we generally do it Matzah Shabbos, and to do it in the street and Beroivam Hadras Melech, even in places where they weren't particular about that until now. For example, because we live among the Goyim, that would also mean to be careful with the time of Kiddush Levana, not to go past the time. And most important, that I've added, to do it with the special kavana to bring quickly to be poil, take from Yad, that David Malcolm Mashiach should come. Where after all, we say at the end, right there, we say at the end of Kiddush Levana, we say, Rikshuas Hashem Alakim, as David Malcolm Amen, that we will seek out Hashem and David. And that's the mentality to have when we're saying Kiddush Levana, that we are seeking out the Mashiach, that David Malcolm Mashiach should come. Miyad Mamish. There is, by the way, there's a medrash that says in that connection that when Yeravam and the Ten Shvatim seceded from the kingdom of Yehuda, at that time it says they rejected three things: the Beis Mikdash, Malchus Beis David, and Hashem. So now, for the Geula, Amitas Vashleim to come, it has to be that we Jewish people want all those three things back: the Rishus Hashem Alekayim, Beis David, Malchum, and you have a different pasuk that says that we also have to be Mavakish the Beis Mikdash. So that's what the Rebbe was coughing in all the years that we should be Mavakish, yeah.
The last
moment tonight. We did, most of us did Kiddush Levana last night, but yeah. All right. The next simon here in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch talks about the halachas of stam yenam and then cashering it. For the most part, I mean, you know, look, you know, we go and buy bottled wine. It's, you know, either it's mavushal or if it's not, then we know to keep it inside a bag and not to have a goy touch it. So we won't go through most of the halachas in detail. One thing to be aware of is, and this you can ask anybody who works in any of the cashless agencies, for example. They have this whole issue that has come up in recent years as far as certain kind of whiskeys which are aged in sherry casks, where sherry is a type of wine, and you have big shilas about those. Which kinds of whiskeys of those are kosher, and do you have a problem with any taste that they absorb from the barrels, and so on and so forth.
Mixers also,
sometimes they have blended whiskeys. You get into questions with those also. So yeah, there are big shilas. Big shilas with all those things. Frankly, in my opinion, the easiest thing to do is just not drink whiskey anyway, but that's a das yachid, I'm sure. Okay, Rav Hanan Ben Akash.